Well, we're glad to be back this week. Last week we were in Elkhart, so we missed all of you. And I guess one good thing about that is that you didn't move while we were gone. You know, over the years, that there have been a lot of people who claim that, you know, we don't have to keep the law anymore because, well, Jesus kept it for us, right? Well, consider what that statement implies. I mean, it's not a valid statement. It's not true. But the implication is, for those who say that, is, you know, I don't need to live by the standard that God teaches. I'll choose my own path. Far from teaching that the law is no longer needed, the Bible clearly shows how important God's law is in living our lives. Psalm 119 extensively shows us how God's law should be an integral part of our lives. So today I'd just like to give a quick introduction to Psalm 119 to show how its content and its structure reinforce the need for God's law in our daily lives. So in talking about the content, as we look at Psalm 119, there isn't just one general word that's used that discusses God's law. There are actually a number of different facets of God's law that are presented with this psalm. And there are different words that are related to God's law. And these words occur again and again to emphasize how important they are. There are 10 facets of the law that we see used in Psalm 119. So we'll take a look at those, we'll highlight them, what they are, what they mean for us. And as a matter of housekeeping here, when we look at a verse in Psalm 119, I'll give you the verse reference and I'll read it to you, but we don't have to turn to those specific verses because there will be a number of those. So let's go ahead and get started. What are those different facets of the law that we see in Psalm 119? Well, the first one is the law. Most of us are probably familiar with the Hebrew word that is translated as law. It's the word Torah. It's used 25 times in Psalm 119. The word is also used as one of the three major divisions in the Old Testament. It refers to the first five books, the Pentateuch. The word Torah is derived from a Hebrew word that means to teach and to direct. So the law is used to instruct us on the direction that we must take to live our lives according to God's standard. New King James Study Bible, in a comment on Psalm 119 verse 1, has the following statement. The psalmist consistently described the law of God as a great blessing, for it was God's gracious revelation to his people for their own good. In the law, God mercifully pointed out the right path to follow. So we see that in Psalm 119 as one example, and verse 18. Psalm 119 verse 18, open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. Let me see those things which point me in the right direction. Those who claim they no longer need to keep the law to follow God's direction, they're doing exactly what Adam and Eve did in Garden Eden, aren't they? By abandoning God's law, they are choosing for themselves, instead of following his instructions, they put themselves in the place of God. God has opened our eyes, and doing what's right in our own eyes is not what we have been shown to do. Instead, we strive to live by the law. So are we following God's direction, or are we choosing our own path? The law gives us the direction that we need. The next facet we see in Psalm 119 is the word righteousness. The word appears 12 times in the psalm, and the root of this word conveys the concept of doing justice by measuring with an equal balance. Let's take a look at this. Let's turn back to Leviticus 19. We'll see where this, other places where this word can be translated. Leviticus 19, first we'll look at verse 15. Leviticus 19, verse 15. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. Jumping down to verse 36. The very same word is used, but in this case, instead of righteousness, is translated as honest. Leviticus 19, verse 36. You shall have honest scales, honest weights, an honest ephod, an honest hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. There is a true standard by which all things are measured. That standard is God's law, His way of life, His righteousness. Are we practicing righteousness? Do we weigh, do we judge equally? Do we judge as God judges? Remember the instruction that James gives to us. Let's turn over and take a look at that. In James chapter 2, and we'll start with verses 1 through 4. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in the good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Jumping down to verses 8 and 9 here in James 2. Verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Righteousness, as a facet of God's law, is learning to judge equally in the same manner that God judges, using an equal measure. The third facet that we see here in Psalm 119 is that of precepts. What are precepts? Well, this word is found 29 times in Psalm 119, and it refers to specific rules of conduct that one should learn to apply before you get into a situation where you have to apply those. Know it ahead of time. Be prepared. Like the Boy Scouts, you know, be prepared. Precepts, understanding ahead of time. We need to think how God's law applies and the way of life, how we put it in our own lives, before we find ourselves needing to apply that knowledge. You don't want to suddenly find your situation and thinking, oh, what do I do now? No, instead, we learn God's law ahead of time so that when we get to those situations, we say, oh, that's right. This is something I've learned in the Bible, how to deal with this. This is how I handle this situation. Let's take a look at this in Psalm 119 and verse 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. In other words, help me learn ahead of time how I can apply these. And then again in verse 110 of Psalm 119, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Doesn't matter if they've laid a snare for you. If you're learning God's ways, his precepts, you're prepared. And you're not caught by it. So don't wait until we're in the middle of a situation to try to figure out how we should be responding. Learn God's law ahead of time so that we can appropriately apply it when it is needed. The fourth facet we want to cover here is that of testimonies. Testimonies are another aspect of God's law, and it comes from a root word that refers to a witness. The law of God serves as a witness for how we are to live our lives. And it will be a witness to God's way of life for all eternity. God's law is not going away. It's a witness for us. Here's how you live. Psalm 119, verse 144. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. That's what testimonies do for us. The next one is judgments. Judgments we find used 23 times in Psalm 119. It's derived from a word which means to judge, to determine, to regulate. Judgments help us understand what is right and what is wrong. And in doing so, in understanding that, learning to judge that, helps us to have godly relationships with the others around us. God reveals this to us through his law. Psalm 119, verse 102. 119, verse 102. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. Think about how wonderful that is. God himself has taught us these judgments. He's taught us right from wrong and how to apply that. The next aspect that we'll look at is that of commandments. The word for commandments is used 22 times in Psalm 119. It's a general term for religious law in our lives and pertains to anything that God has commanded. This is God's telling us, if you want to have life, this is the direction that you have to go. And think about that. Of course, God has the authority to instruct us on the right way to live our lives. And why does he have that authority? Psalm 119, verse 73. Psalm 119, verse 73. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. So a critical and important aspect of this concept is that by accepting God's commandments, we are acknowledging that God has the authority to govern our lives, and we are submitting ourselves to his will. Those are our commandments. The seventh one, statutes. How do statutes play into being part of God's law? Well, the law as defined by statutes are decrees that regulate our lives and refer to the responsibilities between a society and the individual. The root word here refers to something engraved in stone. It implies permanence in the law. It's not something that's going to go away ever. God's statutes are everlasting. God's statutes do not change. and they cannot be removed simply because humans find them inconvenient. It doesn't work that way. Statutes set boundaries for us. You know, God created humans, as we saw, and He knows the optimum way in which we can live our lives. He knows what's best for us. He gave us His laws, His way of life, to guide us, to help us along. Within those boundaries, we have an incredible freedom of how we live our lives within the boundaries of God's statutes. James refers to it as the law of liberty. Psalm 119 helps us to understand how to do that. Psalm 119 verse 5. 119 verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. What happens if we venture outside of those boundaries, outside of that direction? Psalm 119 and verse 118. Psalm 119 verse 118. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Statutes. Giving us boundary and direction. Next we see Psalm 119 referring to God's ways as part of His law. We see this used 13 times, and literally it refers to a road or a path, the way to follow. As used here in Psalm 119, it refers to the path that God has set for us to follow. It's not our own path. We're not the ones choosing this. This is the path that God has chosen for us. And it's part of His law that He's revealing to us. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 3. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Number 9. We're getting there. Number 9. God's Word is part of His law. This appears over 20 times in Psalm 119. It refers to the express will of God, and it also refers to what God has actually spoken to His people. It's something to be marveled at. It's something to be obeyed, because God hasn't spoken to any other nation like He did to Israel, or as He's working with us now. Let's turn over Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verses 19 and 20. The psalmist marvels here at what God has done for Israel. Psalm 147, verses 19 and 20. He declares His word to Jacob, His statutes and His judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation, and as for His judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. Look what He's done for us. He's revealed His word to us. Back in Psalm 119, verse 162. Psalm 119, verse 162. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. God's word is part of His law, is a great treasure that has been shown to us, and we rejoice that we see what it is, and that there's more to learn, more to be revealed. And finally, the tenth facet of God's law. We see that in Psalm 119 as truth and faithfulness. God's law is trustworthy and has no falsehood at all. The law shows us the truth in life, no matter what circumstances we might find ourselves in, what we're going through, wondering whether we're going to make it through. God's law shows us the truth. And we can faithfully live by the truth of His law. Psalm 119, verse 90. 119, verse 90. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth, and it abides. Psalm 119, verse 160. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. They will not go away for all of eternity. The truth and faithfulness that is found in God's law will always be there. So these are 10 facets of God's law that we find in Psalm 119. Law, righteousness, precepts, testimonies, judgments, commandments, statutes, God's ways, God's word, His truth and faithfulness. So as we study this content of Psalm 119, we learn to desire to fully apply each facet of this law to our lives. And Psalm 119 shows us how to do this. To see how we do this, to see how this works for us, next we take a look at the structure of Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is an amazing and marvelous piece of poetry. It's an acrostic with 22 stanzas. Each stanza corresponds to one of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Each stanza contains 8 verses. It's an octet. So there are a total of 176 verses in Psalm 119. God clearly inspired the writing of the psalm so that each line in a stanza starts with the same letter. So the first octet, every one of those 8 lines starts with the letter Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So you look at the second octet. Each of those 8 lines starts with the letter Bet, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. What's even more amazing is you might be able to put together something like that, but in addition to starting with the same letter for each octet, the verses are put together coherently and make sense so that it is able to teach us about God's law. What's really neat is if you ever have the opportunity, if you can look at a Hebrew lexicon or whatever, you can find them online or book form. When you look at this psalm and you see it written out, you see that for every octet, you see that very first letter is the same for each of the 8 lines. Go down to the next one, same letter, same letter. It's really neat to see. It's something that we lose in the English translation, because you don't see that in the translation. But it's there. It's inspired, and there's a reason for it. The psalm is a beautiful composition for explaining the law and teaching us how to apply that. So we've talked about the content, and we've briefly touched on the structure of the psalm. Now, when we put them together, what do we see? How do we apply that? How does it work to teach us to put God's law of all of its facets into our lives. I mentioned that there are 176 verses in Psalm 119. Only one of those verses, verse 122, does not have at least one facet of God's law in the verse, sometimes two or three. So what we see with this is that the text of this psalm is filled and overflowing with living the law of God in all of its facets. And we can learn from that. How do we learn from that? Well, an interesting aspect of this structure means that these facets of God's law are interwoven with every letter of the alphabet. So what does that mean? Well, consider this. Every thought we have, every word we speak, is based on what? Language. What is language based on? The alphabet. What we see from the content and structure here in this psalm illustrates that our thoughts and our words are to be fully interwoven with God's law and His way of life in every way that we encounter in our lives. Every thought, every word, every action is to be based in God's law. So, going back to where we started, did Jesus Christ keep God's law for us that we no longer have to? No. No, that assertion is completely wrong. In fact, the Bible shows how integral God's law is to living our lives in every aspect. Living God's way is to be our desire, it's to be our goal, it's the outcome that we want, that we're reaching for. Finally, turn with me to Psalm 19, not 119, Psalm 19. And we'll look at verses 7 through 11. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. The kingdom of God is coming. We have that promise, and it's a sure thing. Those who are in that kingdom will live by God's law for all of eternity. So now is the time for us to prepare, to learn God's law, to live it, and to make it a part of our every action, every word, every thought. This introduction to Psalm 119 shows us, by the structure and the content, how we are to do that. And it gives us the foundation for us to succeed in following God's law.